I think you all can hear me anyway, right?
Yep.
I don't have this on. You know, the main message expressed already is that Jesus died for our sins and that we have life through him. There's a term that's used. We say that he is our redeemer, right? He is our redeemer. And I want to talk about redemption today. I'm going to give you a list of words that mean the same thing. This is a God who saves. This word redeem means to save. It means to rescue. It means to deliver. To recover. To retrieve. To ransom. To find the lost. To repair, to restore. Jesus does all those things, doesn't he? And because he does all of those things, he is our Redeemer. He is the one who restores us. He's the one who saves us. He rescues us from ourselves, doesn't he? I don't know if I'm going to... Yeah, I guess I will. The book of Psalms, Psalm 23, which most everybody knows pretty well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. And then verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He rescues our soul. Isn't that something? He recovers our soul. He ransoms our soul. He restores, he repairs our soul. Is your soul in need of repair? We are saved. That the whole concept of salvation and restoration, there's lots of different levels to this. We're saved so that we will forever be with the Lord. That redemption is eternal. That's what the scripture tells us. It's eternal redemption that we have. And yet, knowing that this is the ultimate outcome, there are things that happen once we become saved people, once we accept what Jesus has done for us, where there's a process that's still going on, where we're still in need of cleaning up the mess. You understand? He's still in the process of cleaning us up, getting us so that we become more conformed to the image of Jesus. Right? He's restoring our soul because it's our character, it's our habit patterns, the things that we get into that has been unconnected with God, that's in the darkness, therefore, that God is still in the process of helping us, rescuing us from, right? Even though ultimately we're saved to heaven, we still are in the process of being redeemed in our souls. Isn't that right? This isn't something that just disappears like that. This rescue, you know, is one of those kind that takes a lot of work. All right, now let me go into some of this with you. I'm going to have you go to Joel chapter 2, if you are following through with your Bibles. Joel chapter 2. This, this should be a very encouraging thing to all of us. It says here in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, "And I will restore, I will rescue from, I will save you, I will redeem you from the years that the locust has eaten." Do you have long periods of time or major areas of your life that year after year things aren't the way they should have been? And the Lord says, "I'm going to restore you the years that the locust has eaten." How encouraging is that?
Awesome.
Lots of things that happen in our lives, what the Lord does here. I don't want you to think that God restores things exactly like if we've messed up in a relationship. That relationship might not ever come back, but He will turn what's in front of you to the good. He will restore and give you a good relationship. You understand?
Right.
So it might not be exactly how we would think He might do it, but there, what God does promise us is that He will turn to good for those who love Him, right? Anything that has been in the darkness, that hasn't been really led by His Spirit, He promises us that He will turn to the good things in our lives, so that we don't have to wallow in the past for the past mistakes, for the past ignorance that we have had about who we are and how we act toward people, and the lack of love that can be in us, or the way we hurt somebody by something we've said. And we don't have to go back and feel like it's lost. No, He's going to retrieve that which is lost. He's going to give us a better hope. Amen? You guys believe this?
Yes.
Because it should be something that should encourage us as people. That God is a restorer. Amen? Isn't that crazy? He restores our lives. He restores our souls. We have a lost soul that is now on the way toward heaven because of our belief in Jesus, right?
Yes.
We're not going there any other way.
No.
But now, even after being saved, He's restoring the way we act toward one another, the way we think about God, the way we think about ourselves. He's cleaning us up from the inside out. That's how much He cares for us.
Yes.
It isn't just going to save and let us wallow in the darkness. Am I getting too close? Yeah, maybe I should stay back here so the baby can hear us.
I'm watching.
Oh, okay. So, but there's a lot of places in our life where tragedies or things that happen in our life really have affected the way we think about things.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Just our perspectives can be so different about how we would respond to a certain event. We probably all have so many different ways that we would think about it and react to it. There's reasons why we think the way that we do, you know. And God wants to restore that so that we can walk in the light of His countenance with the things of this life. So that we really can be a real, true witness of Him in this life. Because things are not getting any better in the world at all. Is there?
No.
How many think the world is better now than it was 10 years ago? Anybody? No? Oh, wow. I'm really surprised. Okay. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. This is going to get to the heart of what the message is today. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I do not think that the things that, happen, the songs that are chosen, the things that are said before I get up here, you know, I don't know, sometimes, do you see me sometimes feverishly writing something down here at the beginning of the service? And that's because I want to make sure that I get down a verse out of a song or something that was said to make sure I remember it, number one. But to show that God is really speaking in particular men. And I want to focus in on the song that Kelly had asked to be played today. And that Joe had a witness to, yeah, we're going to do it today. And it was, do something, right? Do something. And there's a thing that, you know, we can do lots of things, but if we're obtuse to it in our minds, in the darkness about, that we can actually do something for the Lord in little ways, big ways. It doesn't matter. You know what Kathy had brought up about the clothing thing. That could really help some people, couldn't it?
Yes.
We can do something there. It might be a sacrifice even. But you want to listen to God and go, you know, I do want to do something. I hate to think of people that are in that kind of a desperate kind of situation. You know? And your heart can respond, it can do something, right? And all of this, what we've been talking about is that what God has done on the inside, much of the time, though he does lots of sovereign things, much of the time, the sovereign thing that he does inside, he wants us to have that come out,
yes.
Have something where we move in faith and step out and do something for someone else, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse, ooh, I'm going to start up in 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I don't know about you, but I'm still waking up to a lot of things about myself. Anybody? You've been doing it. You've been going, oh my, I didn't know I was like that. Oh my. It's not a great thing. Sometimes it is a good thing, isn't it? You can see the Lord working in your life, and that can be wonderful that you're awake to that. But lots of times, it's the cleaning process. It's this restoring our soul process that God wants us to be more aware of. And I want to say that as we continue reading here, that this is absolutely imperative that we be awake to this process, because we're not going to redeem anything if we're not awake to things. Look what it says. So it talks about awake, you that sleep. That's all of us. Verse 15. See then. All right. So this is what you have to do. So, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people. Where do we get wisdom?
From God.
We can't just go by the way we think, can we? In a natural kind of way.
We can.
But that's not going to be very helpful.
That doesn't work out.
It doesn't work.
We've already tried.
So, what do we have to do in order to have his wisdom? What would you do? What, Kelly, what?
Read the book.
Read this, because there's lots of wisdom in here, okay?
Right.
I've heard people say things.
ask for wisdom.
You've got to ask for wisdom. Yes. You have not because you ask not.
Right.
And I'll bet you our lives are so filled up with things that we can very easily forget to even ask God for things. Yeah? Because we're so busy. Oh, wish I've found myself saying, geez, I wish I could have wisdom for this. Or, boy, what do I do about that? And if I don't turn my direction right to God right away, I'm not going to get His wisdom. I'm going to try to figure it out on my own. Because that's the natural way of doing things. But we're not supposed to have our own minds. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ for stuff. And it's going to be important for us in the day of evil, the days of evil, that we have wisdom and are looking at what's going on so that we can have his understanding and his wisdom for the things that are happening in this life. Is that right?
Yes.
You agree?
Yes.
You can say it louder.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So it says here in verse 16, redeeming the time. See, God's going to restore the years that the locust has eaten. He's doing that. He does an inward work. He does things, but then he says, we're supposed to redeem the time ourselves. We're supposed to do that. That requires some kind of action. That requires do something. Yeah?
Yes.
That requires not being apathetic. That requires not going holding on to the thought, well, I don't know what to do. Or I'm afraid to do. Or how do I do that? You know? If you have your heart set on something, you find a way to do it. I know I can do that in the flesh.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I go back to your first point?
Sure.
When you said, He leads me in the path?
Yeah.
It doesn't say He carries me.
No.
And if somebody's leading, then you got to have followers.
Yeah. And you have a choice to follow
that's
or not.
Right.
Yeah. Okay? I have this word down here. I don't know when I'm going to get to it.
Is it something I'll understand?
Let me, so verse 16 says, redeeming the time because what?
The days are evil.
It's even more important in the time that we're in here at the end of the age when the scriptures tell us that in the last days, perilous times will come. So even more so, we need to be that much more connected with the Lord. One of the songs had these words about being more aware of His presence, right? That's being awake to God. Boy, we have a long way to go to train our minds to make connection on a very almost continual basis. Is there anybody that's there yet? Because we're not there yet, are we? It doesn't mean that we don't concentrate on the things that we're doing, but it does require a retraining of our minds to include the Lord in everything that we do. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Doesn't that even sound, I mean, it sounds good. It sounds like, well, of course. Us Christians, well, of course. We have the head knowledge of it, but it's not translating out where it needs to go. I think the Lord wants to encourage us to be those people that say, God, I don't seem to be making the application as much in my life as I need to. Help me to do that. We'll get it if we ask.
I just said it takes discipline.
It takes a discipline.
It takes constant evaluation of yourself, mm-hmm. and then it takes constant redirection of yourself. It's something that always has to be on our mind that when all of a sudden you feel like you're, when you notice that you're not connecting with God, then you say, well, I need to connect with God. But first you got to notice it. You can't just, if you don't notice it, you don't know. You're just going to keep going forward. When do you feel the most connected with God during the week? I think for me, a lot of times it's church. And the reason that it's church is because that's my focus.
Yeah.
Out in the real world, the focus isn't there as much because you're focusing on other things, right? Yes. So we need to make sure that we're connecting with God on the outside as well as on the inside here.
Very good, because that's the segue to the next scripture. This is Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. It says this very thing that Reggie just said in a much really better way. It says, or at least from the King James Version I have, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are outside the church, redeeming the time. Again, wisdom and redeeming the time are connected together. We need his wisdom, not our own.
Right.
Not our own ideas about things.
And though Christians will say that I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do because it sounds good and it sounds right, to actually be doing those things does require that greater amount of being a disciple, where you do turn aside and you do train your mind to connect with him and ask for the wisdom and ask for the things that you need. Yeah?
Yes.
I was thinking here, I wrote down a couple things about, well, what's the opposite of redeeming the time?
Wasting.
Wasting your time. Yeah. I wonder how much of our thought life is a waste of time.
Did you see that statement that was at the end of that video that we played?
It said
something about do more than just exist.
Yeah, do more than just exist.
Yeah. Just existing is a waste of time.
It's a real waste.
You're not accomplishing anything.
And that whole thing about just existing, yeah, that was, I did read it. That whole thing is, we want to do things for the Lord, but that requires doing something for the Lord. Not condemning ourselves because we haven't.
Right.
But allowing the Lord to redeem that time in us by moving ahead now and forward. We can't sit there and condemn ourselves for what's happened in the past. Let God turn ourselves in the right direction for the good. See, we can do that.
Yes.
There is hope in the right now and the future. The past is in the past. And we can learn from the things of the past. But we don't want to stay there. We need to move forward. Right?
Yes.
Not everybody wants to.
Some of us act like babies.
I'll tell you what the baby wants, though. Food. It didn't take long at all. Food, just like that.
Rachel's husband, Mike, liked Van Zandt and his one song that said the devil preys on an idle horse.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's like if you're not working, you're just being lazy and doing nothing.
Right. Idleness is the devil's workshop. There's all these, sayings that really come. Procrastinating?
Yes.
Could that be the opposite of what we're talking about, restoring? You know, when a person, if a carpenter is restoring a table or whatever, he's actually doing something to fit. What's so funny over here?
We need to talk about it.
The restoration process requires and lots of times it's getting our minds in the right spot. A person looks at a table and a carpenter, and he says, okay, I think the best thing to do is to do that and then that. Now, how am I going to, I need to do this and that. And then once they thought through the process, then they go ahead and they start to do. We need to have a mind that really does connect with God. And I know that all of us think, well, sure, this is It's a simple concept, but I don't think that the church does a very good job of it. I don't think I do a very good job of it. I want to know the... I'm not the only one. No, I'm not. Let me see, what else here do I want to say? We're talking here about redeeming time. When you want something, you put in the time. If I wanted to be a good soccer player, I had to put in the time to practice. You know that? How many of you want to be a good Christian person? You want to be a good Christian? Do you want to be, another way of saying that is disciple? Do you want to be Jesus' disciple?
Yes.
Right? Then you know what? It doesn't just happen. You have to put in some time. You and I have to put in time, not just worshiping here on Sunday, but giving God the glory and giving Him of yourself throughout the week. Worshiping Him during the week. Reading your Bibles through the week. Praying as much as you can. Yeah? Taking time with God and taking time with God's people.
Yes.
You know, we've been doing the survival courses. We're learning about how to survive in a wilderness kind of situation, and you know, with all the things that could happen in this life. You know, if you just read or listen to the TV, and they talk about how our electrical grid is in grave danger of being compromised, that there could be an EMP attack, or there could be different things. Or not even that. People just using too much electricity, and you get a brownout or a blackout in an area. And what would you do in the course of that? What if it's an elongated thing? How do you survive? What do you do with all of that kind of stuff? You know, we need to be people that are prepared and circumspect. You consider everything that's going on. You instead of just, you know, mind-numbingly listening to the news, you know, ask God questions. Ask the Lord, well, what if that would happen here? God, what do I need to do to prepare for something like that? So that we would be prepared. You and your family would be prepared. You know? Is that important or not?
Yes.
I think it is. But you know what's the best thing about this whole thing with survival? We get a chance to be with each other a little longer. We get a chance, you know, there's ministry, there's just a deeper fellowship and connection that happens with, because you're spending time with that person or those people, right? That's what's so wonderful about it. The more you spend time with God, the more you get to know Him. The more thankful you are, you can really gauge where you're at with God, with God's people, by the way that you react when you're with God's people, or your reaction toward if reading your Bible or worshiping the Lord is a mechanical process, that should say something to you about yourself, right? And none of us are, you know, pure as the driven snow about any of this stuff. We all have something to gain here by thinking about these things and asking God to make it a deeper thing in our hearts. We do, don't we?
Yes.
You know I like reaction. So, because
yes,
I
do.
Yeah. Exactly, right. You know? So taking that time to be with God's people, you know, this whole restoration process God is the one. It's the power of His Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit within us. This is why it's good that we get together. You know? Hi. You know?
Yeah.
But when somebody's heart, when somebody's soul needs some restoration, needs some ministry, we can't just, say, okay, we stand with you on it. God bless you. Amen. Who's next? Do you see what I'm saying here?
Happens all the time.
Restoration. Prayer for people. Restoring. Ministering to God. Isn't usually an immediate thing. Sometimes God does a sovereign thing and He touches us in our heart. And there's an immediate restoration in some areas of our life. But in lots of other things, it isn't so immediate, is it? And we need to be people of God's heart that will have that time where we pray for that person in our prayer closet. Come in here and be able to minister because we're in prayer. We're seeking God. And we're not in a hurry to finish a ministry. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Not in a hurry to get through worship. Not in a hurry to get through the Word. Not in a hurry, for anything. Because we're listening to God. You know? God can do anything in a hurry, and if He wants it to be in a hurry, and He only needs this one little thing, then we should be willing for that too. Because then we're putting our hand to something. But isn't that true? Somebody had a hand. So.
I was just thinking how we're all different and we all contribute to the body, you know, in our own special way, our gifts and everything. Well, yesterday when we were out, it was really nice because Gary was like the one that had all the knowledge and stuff and he was sharing it with everybody. And then we had different ones like Ronnie provided food. And he went out and got the sticks to cook the food on. And then some of us were getting stuff to make the fire. And some were looking for water. And some were building shelter. And we were and it was so cute because it all contributes to the whole.
Yes.
And just like all of us working here as the body of Christ, we minister to each other, to one another. We go out and we minister as the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. And it's awesome.
And those experiences, like yesterday, can teach us something about when we're together as a group of Christian people. If we're out there in the wilderness, and we go home and we actually think about what's happened, and God shows us, that's what I'm doing in you too. Right? Isn't that great? I just think it's a wonderful thing. All right, I'm going to a couple scriptures, and we will be closing this up. Some more things about being restored, and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 17. It says, and if you call on the Father, how many of you are calling on the Father? Amen. You do that, don't you?
Yes.
Most people in the world, they don't call on the Father unless something's gone wrong and they're saying, oh God, help me.
That's right.
But, we want to call on the Father. He's our spiritual Father. You know, we should be talking to Him every day. Even when things are going well. Right? If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, in reverence. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain way of life, your empty way of life. And we can sit there and make excuses for the way we are and say, well, I'm just human. And that's just an excuse never to change. Never to allow God to touch your heart and redeem all of the previous time that you've had existence in the darkness of that particular thing and to get into His marvelous light. That doesn't happen if you don't allow Him to do it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I think the baby's upset because some people are squirming here. I know I squirm, and when God puts His finger on you, don't you squirm? I do. I don't want to hear that guy. I don't want to hear that about me. You know? But that's who we are. But we don't have to stay that way. That's what's great. And God gives us the power to get away from that. Hallelujah. I'm glad about that, I'll tell you. So we're redeemed. We can be redeemed from this vain, empty way of living, behavior, that we received by tradition from our fathers. There's a lot of good tradition.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yes.
There's a lot of good traditions in the church. But there's a lot of bad traditions. There's a lot of traditions that are only the traditions of men. And let me just, in case you think I'm just making that up. It says in Colossians 2, 7 and 8, be rooted and built up in Him and established in your faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, this is verse 8, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the elementary principles of the world, and not after Christ. And I submit to you, I submit it to myself, there's too much of the rudiments of this world and the traditions of men that still bog down our thinking.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
And God wants us to awake from that. Mm-hmm. He does. And we can be so apathetic about that. He wants us to be awake. Really. Okay. All right. I'm going to close in Romans chapter 13. I'm going to just come right back to this concept of being awake again, and then I'll be closing. Romans chapter 13. Starting in verse 11. And add that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's about time. You ever say that?
Yes.
You know, when something finally happens that you've been waiting for, well, it's about time. You know? I'm so glad that Kansas City is about to finish off the Mets.
Yes.
Hey.
That's only for Joe.
Yeah.
It's high time. It's about time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation or rescue or redemption or retrieval. Huh? What are those other words? Recovery. Being ransomed. Restored. All of that. It says here, now can our restoration, is our restoration nearer than when we first believed? Because our soul is being restored. Isn't it? The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently, as in the daytime, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in, what's that word?
Tampering.
Yeah. In lewdness. and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And this is where we're at. And this is where God wants to take us. And if we're in that kind of process, God is doing a deep inner restoration of our souls, and we will be in a position of wisdom and understanding to be those that are the repairers of the breach, those that can restore the age-old foundations. We certainly need it on a national level. Going on that kind of level, and even more so on the spiritual level. Because the church is not in the position it should be in right now. And every single one of you know that. The church is supposed to be the salt of the earth, the preserving power, and it does not look that way. You know why? Because the church is being trampled underfoot by men. When the church loses its salt, loses its savor, it's good for nothing and is trampled under the foot of men. And that's exactly what's going on right now. Exactly. So it's time for some restoration. There's time for that inner restoration in our hearts that God promises to do, and we need to be those who do something to help restore what's been lost. Amen?
Amen.
And we need it. We need it badly for ourselves on a personal level, but also on the greater level. Amen. Steve, what
is this? Is there anyone in this place who's ever been stored up in the whole house?
Yeah.
Well, I live in a house that's between 150 and 180 years old. And we've been there since 1997. And there's a process, even as you're thinking about restoration, that you need to plan.
Yes,
you
got it.
You know, what needs to be done first? This is money and all that, and help. But, so you do it a little bit at a time.
Yep.
For lots of reasons. But I guess my point is that as you restore different rooms in the house, in your heart, whatever it may be, and you start moving on to other ones, you can't forget what you've restored because you're going to have to go through the process all over again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of happening in our house. There's a couple of rooms that we had done and we haven't been able to take care of like we want, so we got to go back and repair them again. So it's a process, and I think one of the things that we're seeing in people that we're dealing with and have issues is that some people think that they're supposed to be all taken care of now, it's going to be done and over with and move on. It's a process.
Yes.
And the word that comes to my mind is patience.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that you ignore and you don't deal with it. You don't keep people accountable and all that, but it's a process. You have to have love and patience as you're going through that process. Exactly. I don't know if we'll ever get the house done. Probably by the time we do, someone from my boys will take it over.
That's okay. That's okay.
You know that song we listened to, Do Something. The biggest part I got out of that, and everybody's like thinking, oh, do something, it's when, in the beginning of the song, he's shaking his fist at God and saying, why don't you do something? And he goes, I did. I created you.
That's right.